Your Bible, Nehemiah chapter number 3. Nehemiah chapter number 3. And let's get into the Word of God here this evening. I've got a lot of material. Amen. I didn't realize how much I have until I got writing it all down and laying it all out to be presentable to preach. And I said, my soul, there is a lot here. And so I want to give that to you this evening. Nehemiah chapter number 3. I've been making our way through here somewhat verse by verse. There are 10 gates that are mentioned in the rebuilding of the walls that Nehemiah has gone back to rebuild. And the matter of the walls and the gates was of great concern to Nehemiah. In fact, when he stood up and challenged those that were around the city there after Babylon had come in, the enemy had come in and destroyed the city, they left it literally in a heap of burning fire. It was a great mess everywhere. And he had heard about that and had been sent back by God. Now, here's what he said to his generation when he got back. He said, the fact that these walls are tore down and these gates are broken down and burned, he said, this is a reproach unto us. And we need to rise up and we need to build so that we're not stuck in this place of shame as the people of God. Those walls represented more than just, amen, the material or the might of that city. It represented the city of God. And the fact that the city was in such bad shape, the city of God, the city on the hill, Zion, was in such bad shape, was a reflection on the people of God. And Nehemiah said, it's time somebody rise up and get to work, and we need to build the walls. And of course, in the walls, there are gates. And there are 10 of those gates that are mentioned, and those are access points into the city through the wall. And where men and women and families could come and go in and outside of the presence of the Lord that promised His presence would always dwell there. So we've been looking at these gates. I'll read our verse tonight in verse number 14. We got introduced to it at the end of verse number 13 in the last message we preached last Sunday night on the Valley Gate. And the Bible said in verse number 14, but the Dung Gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-Hakkerem. He built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And so we read about the Dung Gate. It's mentioned four times in the scripture, all four times in the book of Nehemiah, once in verse 13, once in verse 14. And then I'll show you the first and last mention of it throughout the message tonight. As we continue our thought, gateways to the presence of God, we come to the Dung Gate. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please help us tonight. Take the Word and Lord, our study and the preparations that we have made, not only in our own heart and life through the Scriptures, and our study, but Lord, the preparations that have been made to deliver these thoughts to the people of God. Lord, I know tonight there are people here this evening, Lord, that have come to hear what God would have to say. And so I pray you'd speak through your word tonight, speak through your man. Lord, I know I'm just an earthen vessel with the call of God upon my life. Lord, I'm a nobody. But Lord, I pray that you would use this tonight for your glory, your honor, your magnification. Lord, I know the subject matter at hand. Lord, there's not one child of God, Lord, even a sinner tonight, that Lord would be outside of the scope of what this message will deal with and Lord, how it impact our lives. And so Lord, I pray this evening we'd all listen attentively with a mind and a heart, Lord, ready to obey and to be doers and not just hearers of the word only. For all that you do, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we've been studying these gates and we see the sheep gate in verse number 1, a picture of our Savior and the salvation that He offers. It's no coincidence that all these gates began, the record of them, I believe, inspired by the Holy Ghost, begins at the sheep gate. And in each of these stops of these gates along the wall of Jerusalem, Nehemiah's day, speak to us of our own spiritual journey and walk with God. And surely, my friend, that's where it all begins. It begins in salvation. We looked at the fish gate in verse number 3, that once we are saved, having entered the sheep gate, and immediately there is a response in our life that we are interested in becoming what Jesus has saved and called every child of God to be, a fisher of men. And this is part of our spiritual journey. God does not save us to be selfish nitwits who have no investment in the lives of others that are around us. In our lives, once we're saved, we ought to have a desire to throw the bait out and the net out and the line out. Amen. Every chance the Holy Ghost gives us that we might, we might snag some wandering lost soul in this world and bring them to the Savior. We dealt with in verse number 6, I believe, one of the most important gates. I believe the sheep gate being the most important, the old gate, amen, being as important as any of the other gates, representing the old unchanging truths of God and God's word and holiness that is required of our life as children of God. We looked at in that message, understanding we're living in a generation and we're not the first to be there. It's been getting progressively worse for many, many centuries now. But we're in a generation that, my friend, wants nothing to do with the old gate, nothing to do with the old way of living, an old-time religion, an old-fashioned Bible, an old-fashioned church, but rather have given themselves to the new ways. But in the old gate, amen, we find that, my friend, there are passed down truths and laws and commandments that, amen, are needed if there's going to be any reviving work that is done. It will be through, amen, the old gate. That old gate led into the new quarters of the city of Jerusalem. Amen, and the way to newness of life will always be through the old gate. Now, I want to say to this generation coming in on the scene, I don't need to pre-preach all of this. Amen, but if you quit looking for a new way and get your heart set upon the old paths, amen, you'd be amazed what kind of joy that you could find in your spiritual life. I'm convinced tonight there is a crowd that is depressed and discouraged because they're trying to do it outside of the confines of the old gate. And there's only one way into newness of life, and that is through the old gate and all that it represents. Last week, we dealt with the valley gate. In verse number 13, how that the valley gate led there directly to the valleys of Hinnom and the valley Kidron. And then those valleys are given to you and I, representing a sin-led valley experience in Hinnom, representing idolatry, representing rebellion, representing going your own way. And the Valley of Kidron, representing the Spirit-led valley experiences as our Savior walked there and surrendering His life and surrendering all Himself to the Father's will. Valleys are a part of the Christian experience. They are a part of our life. They're a very important part of our life. But in the valley, always mark it down. Amen. There'll be a hill of evil counsel that'll call out to you no matter what. Amen, you're being led into that valley and the root cause of it. Amen, but always understand there'll be a voice coming from another direction. Amen, that'll call you back to God, will cheer you on your way. Amen, we talked about the tower of furnaces. I just ain't been able to get over, amen, that God has a pulpit with some fire under it. Amen, to cook some bread and to send us some help along the way. Amen. And so we're reminded of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Amen. And we do walk through the valley and thank God. Amen. The Lord is with us whithersoever we go. Amen. Even in the darkest of valleys. Now we come tonight to this, Amen. As we look on to these gates here in Nehemiah 3 and view them as a picture of our own spiritual lives, I believe the elements involved in living in God's very presence. We find the fifth gate, I believe, to be one of the most practical gates of them all. The Bible speaks of the dung gate. Amen. You may not be in a valley tonight. Amen. You may not be struggling over the old gate tonight. Amen. You may have the sheep gate and the fish gate nailed down and all the other five that we'll deal with over the coming weeks. Amen. But I want to say tonight this matter of the dung gate and the truths that we're going to give tonight, I believe, will hit every one of us square between the eyeballs. Amen. If you say you don't need this tonight, please don't shake my hand. Amen. After the service, amen. Amen. For to bypass in this very gate, I believe, would mean you'd have some unclean hands and an unclean heart. Amen. This matter of the dung gate. Let me make our way through an introductory of laying this out, some things I want to say, and then we'll break the verse apart this evening for our instruction. Think about it tonight, the dung gate. The dung gate. In its very name, I think there is seen a measure of reproach. The dung gate. That doesn't sound pleasant. But Jack, there is some shame and some reproach that is associated with this matter of the dung gate. But may I say, it is a necessary gate. Amen. It is absolutely necessary. Preacher, there's reproach and there's shame, man. And there's red-facedness when you say the dung gate. I know that. But Brother A.L., if there's not a dung gate, then, amen, it's going to create some very, very serious issues. Amen, it's a necessary gate as this gate served at the city of Jerusalem to be the way that trash and refuse and soil, amen, was discarded to help keep Jerusalem clean. Amen, it's a city, it's God's city, it's a holy city set on a hill. Amen, but if it's going to stay that way, there must be a dung gate. Amen, there must be a way to exit all of the dung and the trash and the rubbish and keep it out of the city. I believe we can say directly tonight by, amen, right up front in the introduction that the dung gate speaks to you and I of the importance of cleansing. Importance of cleansing. And I say tonight in the child of God's life, it is great importance that you and I understand the doctrine of cleansing. Amen. We all need cleansing from time to time. 1 John chapter number 1 reminds you and I that if a man say that he has no sin, that this man is a liar and the truth is not in him. Amen. We do not believe that because we've been the sheep gate and been saved, and just because we're trying to live in the old gate, an old time religion, and there's been an eradication of our fleshly nature, but, amen, we believe that there is an ongoing struggle even after we're saved. Amen, a spiritual battle, if you will, that, amen, we stand in need of cleansing. That's why 1 John 1 9, amen, says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the dung gate, I believe, speaks to you and I of the matter of cleansing and dealing with our carnality and dealing with our sin and dealing with our worldly ways and just dealing with the daily garbage that piles up in our life. Amen. We've got to make sure there's a dung gate to keep that stuff, amen, poured out of our life and not piling up, amen, around us. Note the dung gate. When I began to study this, the dung gate was one of the first that Nehemiah surveyed to see the condition of the holy city. Look back with me in chapter number 2 and in verse number 13. Verse 12 speaks, and Nehemiah arose in the night. He's got a few men with him. He's riding upon his beast. And he's going to see what condition the walls and the gates in the city are really in. The Bible said in verse number 13, I went out by night by the gate of the valley. We dealt with the valley gate on last week. Even before the dragon's well, we dealt with that last week. And to the dung port. And viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And so Nehemiah said, as I began to survey, amen, apparently the first gate and portion of the wall that he viewed was the valley gate. But you understand, as we said last week, the dung gate was within 500 yards of where the valley gate was. And he goes by there and surveys that. And he comes away saying, why the enemy has come in. Hey man, you can understand why they would destroy the sheep gate. Hey man, you can understand why, hey man, they would burn that down and destroy that, and the fish gate and the old gate and the valley gate and the fountain gate and the water gate and the east gate and these others. But hey man, the enemy destroyed even the dung gate. Amen, is a way to keep the people of God filled with rubbish. And my friend, all the trash and garbage that would pile up. I thought about this, that of all the places Nehemiah could have started and surveyed, he begins here at the dung gate. Amen, I think that Nehemiah understood that if this gate were left destroyed, and the rebuilding of the others would only be enjoyed for a short time. You see, it wouldn't be long if they did the other night. Amen, and didn't deal with this one. It wouldn't take very long. Amen, the trash would begin to pile up. Amen, all the soil and all the vile and bile and amen, all the rubbish. And, amen, all these things would begin to mount up through the city. Amen, no doubt starting a stinking and a stench within the city walls and would have made it an unbearable place to live. Amen, you say, preacher, what's your point tonight? Amen, in this series of gateways of the presence of God, amen, can I go on record tonight and say, amen, do not try to bypass the dung gate. Amen, if you get all the others nailed down, you'll only enjoy them for a little while. Amen, they'll only satisfy you for a short amount of time. Amen, do not try, my friend, to bypass, amen, this place of cleansing, this place of riddance, of rubbish that piles up in our life. Amen, it's the dung gate and the importance of the dung gate, amen, that keeps everything else enjoyable in our lives. Somebody say amen. Amen, may I say this evening when I think about the dung gate, amen, I thought about this. I thought about this. Amen, considering the very name of this place, dung. Amen, that's again a term of reproach and shame. And amen, it ain't a place you'd want to hang out. Amen, not very long. I thought about this. And one of the ways the Scripture speaks of the salvation of sinners, amen, of salvation in the sinner's life, is that of being lifted from the dunghill. Amen. You say, where do you see that? Look back with me in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, or chapter number 2 rather, 1 Samuel chapter number 2, and in Hannah's prayer of dedication to that of her little boy Samuel to the temple, she sings her song and makes her prayer, rejoicing in the Lord. 1 Samuel 2, and in verse number 8, here's what she said. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. Amen. Ain't that an interesting way to describe, amen, where the Lord finds sinners, finds beggars, amen, finds a crowd that is down and out and in need of His help and His deliverance. Amen. This is not an isolated reference to this in Psalm 113. Psalm 113 and in verse number 7. Here's what the psalmist said. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust
and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. Amen. And so I noted there that when the Lord saved us, amen, he saved us out of the dunghill of sin. Amen. He saved us from a life of stink. He saved us from a life of mess. He saved us from all the garbage and the baggage that had piled up in our life. Amen. I'm about to feel like preaching right here a little while. Amen. When he found us, he didn't find us, my friend. Amen. In a showcase of glass. He didn't find us as jewels. Amen. We're under lock and key and display for all to come by and admire and ooh and all over. Oh no, friend. Amen. He found us a bunch of needy sinners. And he found us a bunch of beggars. Amen. As in we're in a dunghill of sin. And thank God, he lifted us up, amen, from that dunghill, amen, and now we ain't beggars no more, amen, now we ain't clothed in stench anymore, amen, we don't have the muck and the mire and the soil of sin and the world upon us, amen, the psalmist said, amen, he lifted us up from the dunghill, and set us among princes, amen. You ain't ever seen a prince clothed in, amen, in dung in your leg, amen. You ain't ever seen royalty, amen, hanging out around the dunghill, amen, from the dunghill to the castle, praise God, amen, from the dunghill to the Father's house, amen. So great is the salvation that our God has given to you and me. Amen. That's running ground right there. Amen. I'm glad I ain't in the dunghill anymore. I'm glad he saved me from all that mess. Amen. When he came back and I seen an egg. Amen. When he saved me, I like how Hannah worded it. Amen. He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. And I say, save me from my sin. Amen. He saved me from my mess. He saved me from the life. Amen. I was a living and headed to live. Amen. And that might as well have been a dunghill. Amen. It's as big a mess as our life was in when God found us. Amen. Amen. You better shout now, because after this, amen, after this, it's all pretty much downhill from here. Amen. I'm glad he saved sinners from the dunghill. Amen. You said, preacher, what's your point here? Amen. My point is this. We're at the dung gate. He saved us from the dunghill, and yet there's still a dung gate. Amen. That's in the city of Jerusalem. Amen. And I wrote it down this way. I thought about it, Brother Mo, this way. You know, the Lord didn't lift us from the dunghill so we can live in it afterwards. Amen. And I say that again. He didn't lift us up from the dunghill so we can, my friend, go on back to it and claim to be saved and claim to be a prince. When he lifted us up, listen now, amen, if you've been lifted from the dung, then leave the dung alone. Can I say that again? If you've been lifted from the dung, leave the dung alone. If there's any rubbish that builds up in your life, amen, since you've been saved, and we all have some, amen, from time to time, we're still going to have to deal with it, amen, because of that old man that lives on the inside, amen. But if you've been lifted from the dunghill, amen, listen, don't go back to the dunghill, amen, don't let the dunghill pile back up on you, amen. There is a dung gate, there is an exit point, there is a way, amen, to get all the stink out of your life. Amen. Amen. He lifted me up from it. I want to leave it alone. He lifted me from it. I don't want to live in it anymore. Somebody help me preach. See, we got a generation of Christianity, amen, that claim salvation, but amen, they don't deal with the dung gate, and so all this junk piles up in their life. Amen. They can't figure out why they ain't satisfied with being saved. They can't figure out why, amen, they can't live for God, why they're up and down and in and out. Amen. Can I ask us a question tonight? Amen. Could it be that, amen, since we've been saved and lifted from the dunghill, that we've not learned how to deal with the dung in our life? Amen. 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 Well, amen. Let's get into it. Let me give you some truths tonight about the dung gate and the importance of spiritual cleansing. Amen. Boy, I need it tonight. David needed it. Psalm 50, when he prayed to the Lord, he said, amen, if you'll cleanse me, I'll be clean. Amen. If you'll cleanse me, I'll be clean. Lord, if you'll help me get it right. Buddy, you talk about some dung piled up quick on David. Amen. I mean, compromise, laziness, amen, adultery and lying and murder and covering his sin. You talk about, my friend, a dunghill piling up on him. Amen. You know what David learned? Amen. I need God, even though He's rescued me and saved me from the dunghill. Amen. I still need some cleansing when I get myself in a mess. Amen. I'm glad there is cleansing. Amen. Amen. Well, let me give you a few things here tonight. Y'all ready? Amen. Number one, the labor around the dung gate. The labor around the dung gate. I think about this matter of the dung gate, and I think about this, that the collecting and the carrying of rubbish that would be involved to get all of that to the dung gate, to have it thrown into the fire in the valley of Hinnom. You know what all that was going to take? It's going to take some work. It's going to take some labor. It's going to have some effort involved in it. Amen. You're going to have to give your attention. You see, the dung gate rested there on the southerly part of the wall of Jerusalem. Amen, it would involve, my friend, these folk, amen, collecting their junk and their personal junk and their family junk and all the junk in the city. Amen, and laboring to get that to the dung gate. If they can get it to the dung gate, amen, in the bottom of the valley of Hinnom, they can roll that over there. Amen, and they had a fire that never went out. That was always burning because, amen, it seemed like there was always some junk to throw away. Amen, to keep the fire going. And yet, if they could just get it on and labor and work to get it to the dung gate, they could get it cleansed out of their life. We got a generation that, my friend, has lost heart to work and living a spiritual life and dealing with the junk that piles up in our day. We want an easy Christianity. Amen. Oh, God, help me. I don't want to be mean tonight. Amen. I don't want to be mean tonight, but I got to say this. Amen. I'm convinced. Tonight, that Bible Christianity, amen, is not being lived in America in these days. We have a cultural Christianity, amen, a cultural Christianity. And my friend wants to live in ease. We want it easy. We don't want any reproach. We don't want any shame. Amen. We want to have some things in our life. Amen. That lets us fit in with the dunghill dwellers. Amen. Still maintain some kind of identification with the beggars and the needy. Amen. That have yet to be lifted up off the dunghill. Amen. But I'm telling you, Bible Christianity. Amen. A real true spiritual child of God. Amen. Is going to have to learn. Amen. That dung gate requires some work and some effort and attention. Amen. Amen. Let me say some things about this labor. Number one, it was a purging work. It was a purging work. The dung gate. But the dung gate, you say, amen, this is where the filth is taken away. Amen, this is where the filth is thrown into the fire. Amen, this was done to keep their homes and city from disease. Some of the so-called modern day experiments or modern day, amen, these people claim they found something new, amen, in the medical realm. Do you understand at what God had gave the nation of Israel when they was in the wilderness wandering around in a camp? And God said, take your filth to the outside of the camp. Amen. And then when they settled into Canaan land, into Jerusalem, and God established a dung gate whereby the filth can be taken out. Amen. Then the so-called modern day, and I still can't find the word I'm looking for. Amen. When they come up with something, they say, I have found something. Amen. Do you know that at all these modern day finds that they are making, amen, about disease and cleanliness go right back to the Old Testament? Medical doctors who are Christians will tell you that some of their modern day practices, even around the hospital, amen, are grounded in the Levitical laws of cleansing and dealing with trash, amen, and dealing with dung and dealing with filth, amen, and they have put those into practice to this very day as a way to cut down all, amen, disease and sickness and plagues. Amen. May I say the labor around the dung gate, it was a purging work. It required much diligence and care. Amen. Listen, everybody had to be invested in it. Everybody had to do their part because, listen now, amen, we're going to get in a Bible principle here. Amen. Even a little bit of dung left in the city could create great, great problems for the entire town. Paul would write, amen, the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 5 and in verse 6 and 7, amen, where he would say, know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And here's a statement that he made in verse number 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, amen, that she may be a new lump. Amen. What was Paul saying? Amen. He's saying you need to cleanse thoroughly everything out of your life. You say, preacher, it ain't that big of a matter. What I'm dealing with is not that big of a deal. Amen. It may be that very thing that wrecks and ruins your life. The labor involved is a purging work. Amen. A purging work. You ought to be striving every area you can find. Amen. To draw a little bit cleaner. Amen. And closer to God. Amen. It is a purging work. It was a personal work. Amen. It is a personal work. Note in this text. Let me give you something out of the verse here. Amen. I got a lot to give, but let me throw this out to you. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab. As you consider this, we've already dealt with four other gates. Brother Riley, this is the first of the 10 gates that has a single individual on the job. The sheep gate, there's several. There's one man in charge, and then he has several that are referred as to helping him in the sheep gate. You have two men involved at the fish gate. Amen. You have several men that are involved there at the old gate. In the valley gate, it was Hanan and the inhabitants of Genoa. But when you come to the dung gate, Miss Mary, when you come to the dung gate, this is the first gate, and there is only one man that has stepped up to the plate to get involved in repairing the dung gate. Amen. You say, that ain't that big a deal. I'm going to just tell you how the Holy Ghost made it a big deal in my life. Amen. This speaks to us of the fact that no one else can do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. Amen. The labor around the dung gate, it was a personal work. By the way, it don't look like there was many willing to get involved down there at the dung gate. When Nehemiah said, we need some folk be willing to work down there and repair the dung gate. Amen. There's only one shown up. Amen. But may I say, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter if anybody else is willing to go to the dung gate. Amen. If they don't want to raise it up. Amen. It's still a personal work. It's still something that you ought to be willing to say. Amen. It is my and mine alone responsibility. Amen. To make sure my life is lived cleansed before God. Brother Tim stole some of my thunder this morning if he was in Sunday school. And in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse number 21, amen, Paul said that if any man purge himself from these, amen, listen, amen, there's some things God puts on you and I to take care of. I know we can't do anything without Him. I know that if we're really going to be cleansed, that, amen, it's going to take ultimately the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But I tell you what I think Paul is hinting at there. Amen. God ain't even going to do it for you until you're willing to do it for yourself. Amen. I've been blamed. I've got letters in my office. People's blame me for their fornication. Blame me for the shape their life's in. Are you listening? Amen. And you say, what does that do? It does two things in me. It breaks my heart and then it ticks me off. Amen. Because you can't blame. If you're in sin tonight and you got a dunghill raised up in your life, amen, you have failed personally. Amen. God expects us, amen, to take the first step. Amen. The church can't make you. Amen. But listen, the church, as high as our standards can be set tonight, amen, they can always be a little higher, but that means nothing if you're not willing, amen, to take on this personal work and labor around the dung gate. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching. Amen. Amen. Let me say this. Look in that text again, verse 14. This one man who has made it his personal work, the Bible said that he was the ruler of part of Beth-Hakkerem. He's a man of position. Yes, sir. He's a man, Brother Mo, that has attained some status.
Yeah, right.
He's a man that everybody looks at as, you know, kind of a big shot. And I say tonight, I don't care what kind of big shot we are. I don't care what kind of position we have. It'll always be a personal work from the greatest of us to the least of us. It is a personal work that we must undertake. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how high the bar is that you set. How many standards and rules and lists of regulations you walk by. Amen. Even if you live up to all level, may I say tonight. Amen. This matter is a personal work. A personal work. A personal work. I must be worried about me. Regard to dung in my life and refuse in my life. Listen, if we'd spend half as much time worried about ourselves as we do everybody else. Some people think it's their personal work dealing with everybody else's dung.
Right.
Let me tell you what you're going to get. You go doing that. You're going to have more stink in your life than you can handle.
That's right.
You got enough to keep you busy.
Right.
Hey man, you ain't got a big enough shovel probably keep up with your own stuff. Amen. Oh, that we get back to worrying about ourselves. Amen. And realize it's a personal work. Amen. A personal work. Amen. I must deal with myself. I must walk with God at the dung gate for myself. Amen. Boy, I'm about to mess up and enjoy my own preach. I'm about to sit down and have a shouting spell. Amen. A personal work, the labor around the dung gate. Amen. It is a purging work, but it is a personal work.
Amen.
Say number three, I may not even get to point number two and three, but that'll be all right.
Amen. Y'all, I don't know if y'all can handle 2 weeks of the dung gate back to back, but we'll see. Notice with me, it was a perpetual work. But Tim stole my thunder here too. Amen. I love it and hate it when he does that. It's a perpetual work. Let me show you something in the book of Nehemiah and then I'll preach this out. Amen. You see, this gate would be, and you got to understand this. I think this is why that when Nehemiah wants to see in the night how bad everything really is, that of the first gates he visits is the dung gate. He realizes if we're going to get this job done, we've got to have a way to get all the rubbish out of the city. So this gate would be extremely important in the days of the revival of Jerusalem under Ezra and under Nehemiah. If the city is going to be, amen, restored to its glory, if the reproach is going to be taken away, if the presence of God is going to enter in back into there, amen, they are going to have to deal with the rubbish. Was there a bunch of rubbish? Look in chapter number 4. And in verse number 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. It's waning and people are falling under the load. Why? Amen. He said, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. You know what that is indicating? That there was filth everywhere.
Yes, sir.
The dung gate's got to be reopened. The dung gate has to be repaired because they need revival in their day.
Right.
There's so much junk, amen, laying around that they are literally falling underneath the load. They can't bear under the... Are y'all listening? They can't bear under the burdens that they are dealing with. Because of all the junk, they got to step over and step around. Amen. This is getting on them and that's getting on them. And they said, hey, we're in big trouble. We can't do the work that you've commissioned us to do because there's so much trash.
Amen.
So the dung gate had to be opened up. There was much rubbish. May I say tonight, however, once cleaned, there would still have to be daily maintenance at the ministry of the dung gate.
Amen.
Now our lives sometimes can get in a real bad mess.
Amen, sir.
We need a revival in our life. I believe America needs a revival tonight. I believe... Amen. In the religious circles of our country and our generation, there is a need for revival. Amen. I believe that in our own homes and even in a Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, there is a need, amen, for a genuine revival. Amen. A recognition that we need the presence of God. We need the reproach to be taken away. Amen. Friend, I'm watching folk fall under the load. I'm watching people who are always worn out. They're always tired. Amen. Because there's so much dung piled up all around us. Oh, that we would see a revival work and the dung gate would be open again in our life and we'd bring all the rubbish and find the strength, amen, to roll it down into the valley and let the fire consume it and get it behind us and get it beyond us. And my friend, get it to where it's out of sight, amen, out of our life where we're cleansed. But if God would send a revival tonight, we would still need the dung gate tomorrow.
Right. Right.
So I said, well, back in 1993, I got rid of some sin in my life. That's way, way, way too long ago.
Right.
If that's the last time you went to the dung gate, and my friend, I promise you there's a dunghill. Amen. You may throw a rug over the top of it. Amen. You may dress it up and call it something else.
Amen. But I'm telling you, we need a revival. Amen. To get the sin out, and then we need a revival. Amen. In our hearts, it reminds us this is a perpetual work.
Amen.
Goes on and on. I don't care how long you've been saved.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's always the need for the dung gate, the child of God's life.
Hey.
Amen. Say, preacher, when is this work going to be done? When Jesus comes again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I wind down. Let me try to end this way. Amen. Until Jesus comes, there'll always be a need for a dung gate. It'll always be a perpetual work, a personal work, a purging work. Amen. But can I say, I just had in my mind, amen, what John the Beloved said. Amen, that there's coming a blessed, glorious day. Amen, when we're going to let this robe of flesh drop. And we're going to rise and we're going to see our Savior as He is. And John said in that glorious day, and we shall be like Him. Amen, when we get to the New Jerusalem. Amen, that John said He's seen as a bride adorned for her husband coming down from God out of heaven. Amen. He said in that city there was 12 gates. Amen. I promise you one of the names of that gate is not going to be the dung gate. Amen. All the dung will be forever past. All the dung, my friend, will be eternally burned. Amen. What a day that's going to be. Amen. When all our labor with this junk, all our labor with this flesh, all our labor to stay clean in an ungodly world. Amen. All the voices that call us to compromise, all the voices that say a little dung is not that big of a deal. Hey God, one of these days will be over and we're going to a place where we'll be just like Him. I don't know if that helps you tonight or not, but it sure enough helps me. I didn't mean to get carried away on all that. Amen. I need to quit. I don't want to quit. I want to preach for about an hour. Amen. We see the labor around the dung gate. Are you working at it tonight?
Amen.
How much effort are you pouring out to live a clean and cleansed life? I think I can be accurate in saying this, Brother Riley. In the days we're living in, filthy days. It's probably going to take more intensity and more attention for our generation to stay clean as any generation's ever been. Somebody's going to have to say, you know what, I'm tired of the dung. I'm tired of the stink. I'm going to get after it. I'm going to work at it. I'm going to labor. I'm going to purge some things out of my life. I'm going to take it as my personal responsibility. Whatever God lets me dump tonight, I'll get up tomorrow and I'll ask Him what else He wants gone.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
The old timers used to have burnings.
Yes,
I remember that. Amen. I'm done. We off the radio so I can come down here. I can remember I had to be kindergarten and my granddad was pastoring in Illinois. I can remember God breathing on that church he pastored. I'm talking about 5 years old and I can still, you can ask my wife, I don't have a real good memory about my upbringing, but there's certain things stuck in my mind that I cannot forget. But Jack, I remember God breathed on that little church up there in Illinois and God began to do a work. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what all was going on. I remember Granddad and some of them old time Christians. His church, he is a pastor, brought in these 50 gallon metal drums. Set them there right to the side of the front porch of that church. I see it vividly in my mind. I ain't talking about one barrel, I'm talking about several barrels. When God breathed on that church, there were people bringing in records and music and books and immodest clothing
And they, my friend, they would walk because God had breathed on them and God had showed them the dung that was in their life that was keeping them from a cleansed life. And they were dumping that in them barrels. Now I remember after that service, they went out there and Granddad lit the whole thing on fire.
Amen.
So that's stupid. You better be careful what you say.
Amen.
When Paul seen a revival take place, amen, was it in Lystra? Can't remember the city. Y'all go read your Bible this week. You'll find it said that when sinners started getting saved and revival broke out, they started bringing all their books of curious art and they burned them. It's a biblical thing.
Amen.
When's the last time you seen that? When's the last time you cleaned out your closet?
Amen.
When's the last time you cleaned out some things that you let build up that you've been thinking ain't that big a deal? God's saying you got to deal with the dung. You got to deal with the dung. You got to deal with the dung.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I ain't talk about setting barrels up. I don't even know about all that. It'd be fine with me if we did.
Amen.
Amen. But personally, somewhere in your life saying, I'm sick of the stink.
Right.
I've got too comfortable with the stink. I've got too comfortable with the dung.
Amen. Yes.
It's time to get an old dung shovel out.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Take it to the dung gate and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm trying the best I can, purge myself. God, I could sure use a little bit of help. You know what you'll find? If you'll make the step to start purging yourself, God will help you.
Yes.
The labor. Well, I wanted to get to the location of the dung gate. Amen. Boy, I can't wait to preach that. It's in a very specific and special location. Can I give you one of the things? And I'll preach it out later. It's on the south end of the city of Jerusalem. The predominant winds that blow across Israel and Jerusalem in particular always come from a westerly direction. If it ain't straight out of the west, it's the northwest or the southwest. And if you look on your little map of where the dung gate is, amen, all that rubbish was being dumped. Can you imagine the stink that would be everybody's trash being dumped and burned in the same place? But they put it in such a way, Brother Gerald, oh, I love this point, that all they needed was the wind to blow. The wind would blow all that stench out into the wilderness. They wouldn't have to live with it, wouldn't have to smell it, they wouldn't have to be reminded about it. Amen. So what are you saying? I tell you what we need in this day. We need the wind to blow. We need the wind to blow. We need the wind to blow. Amen. Some trash out of our life. We need some wind to blow the stench away. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. I want to deal with that man. I probably got 5 weeks on preaching this dung gate now that I think about it and got started in it. Amen. I can't stand 5 weeks on the dung gate. I know y'all can't. Amen. But can I say I want to deal with that man and deal with the leadership at the dung gate. Amen. If we're going to get rid of the dung, you're going to have some leadership in your life. Can I give you this? I'm done. I'm just whetting your appetite, make you want to come back, I hope. Malchiah, is that his name, Malchiah? But Tim, you know what Malchiah's name means? It literally means Jehovah is my king. You know why? Oh, you know there's preaching about to happen here. You know why people don't deal with the dung in their life? He ain't their king.
Amen.
If he's your king, they ain't no amount of dung that you ain't willing to give up if he has the reins of your life.
That's right.
He's the son of Rechab. You know what Rechab means? It means one who rides. One who sits on a wild beast and rides it and controls it and governs it.
Amen.
You know why we don't get rid of the dung? He ain't our king. We don't let him have the reins of our life. We call the shots. We say what's dung and what's diamonds. I ain't interested one whit in what you think is dung and what you think is diamonds. God, my king, Jehovah, my king, rides me. He has broke my will. You know where he's from? Beth Hakkerem. You know what Beth Hakkerem means? House of the vineyard. It's where they were known to grow the grapes and produce the wine. You know what wine is? It's a type of joy. Oh, I feel like preaching. I ain't preaching. When I preach this, I'm going to have a spell on purpose. You know what I see there? If we'll let Jehovah be our king, break our will and ride our life and have the reins, he'll put some joy on the inside.
Amen.
So, amen. I don't mean this the way it sounds. Let me just word it this way. There are some people that are so miserable in their spiritual life.
You're right.
Amen. And you blaming it on everybody else.
Amen. That's right.
But if we will let Jehovah be the king, let him ride us and break our will, and when he says ye, we ye, and when he says haul, we haul.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what you'll find? Amen. The joy began to grow back.
Yes. Yes.
Boy, I need that. I need that. Can I give you my closing thought? And the last mention of the dung gate. I'll preach this. I just think you want it, Jack. You look like you want it. Jack's just sitting there like, please, preacher, don't stop. In Nehemiah chapter number 12, the wall is all built and the gates are repaired. All the doors are hung, the locks are on, minus the sheep gate, which is unlocked and always open, and everything's ready. And so Nehemiah, he says, okay, what you Levites need to do is purify yourself. They begin to purify themselves. He takes some princes from Judah and he gets them on the top of the wall. And it looks like to me that they're meeting at that southerly part of the wall. I don't know exactly where they're meeting. But he's going to divide them in two companies. Brother A.L., he says to the first company, y'all go to the right, y'all go that way. And Nehemiah specifically says they went to the right toward the dung gate. Their job was to walk to the right, walk all the way around that wall and do nothing but dedicate the wall and praise and sing and celebrate and be excited about God and His presence and the gateways they were going to have into the presence of God in Jerusalem. The other company was to go to the left side. They would go around the valley gate or maybe even from the valley gate and go up to the old gate and the fish gate. And then they was all going to meet together at the sheep gate. And there they're going to break out in praise and celebration. Here's what I found interesting. Nehemiah said they went right toward the dung gate. And at every gate they would stand there and they would praise God and they would sing and they would celebrate and excitement would grip their heart and grip their life. What God had done in 52 days to build that wall and set them gates up. You know, the first place they got their praise back was at the dung gate. When they stood at the dung gate and they seen all the hallelujah. They seen all the rubbish that they had thrown down there in the valley of Hinnom and seen its smoke rising up. Amen. They was able to stand there and sing praises to God.
Yes, sir.
You want your praise back? You want your praise back? Get a dung gate raised up in your life. You can stand that and not in a prideful and arrogant way, but in a way of glorifying God, say, He's helped me get rid of some trash out of my life.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It's hard to praise God in the stink.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I've been in some places where for whatever reason, there was some stink come on. Amen. I think he's still awake back there. I've rode with Sambo enough on long trips down the road, shut up my truck to know, amen, they some smells you can smell make your breath leave your body. Ain't that right, Sambo? Amen. It's hard to even talk and get around some kind of stink. You can't even breathe. But ain't it amazing you get the stink out, you get your breath back, get your voice back.
Amen.
You're able to tell God, yes, I love you. Get Amen. Excited about the things of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Well, I got a lot more. We'll see what we do with it. I don't know. Y'all want more of it? Not tonight. Not tonight. Amen. We'll see. Amen.